Good evening, everyone. This is the Voice of America in Washington, and welcome to Health Chat. I'm Douglas Impuga, sitting in for Linua Mudu. Depression is a common mental disorder. Globally, more than 350 million people of all ages suffer from depression. Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide and is a major contributor to the global burden of disease. More women are affected by depression than men. At its worst, depression can lead to suicide. There are effective treatments for depression, though. Tonight, we'll discuss depression, and joining us via phone from Washington is Dr. William Lawson, a professor and chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Howard University College of Medicine. Dr. Lawson, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
If you'd like to participate in the show with your questions or comments, please call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. We'll start our discussion in a moment, but first, here is an overview.
In one of the latest trials of ketamine carried out in Britain, low doses of the tranquilizer showed remarkable benefit in easing symptoms in a small percentage of 28 patients with serious depression. The study, published in the Journal of Psychopharmacology, was led by psychiatrist Rupert McShane of Oxford University. Ketamine was given by IV injection in patients who were already on another antidepressant. McShane says 8 patients responded to the treatment, 3 of whom said they felt better almost immediately after a single infusion.
So typically by about 6 hours, people are saying, gosh, you know, I'm feeling... So typically by about 6 hours, people are saying, gosh, you know, I'm feeling like a weight has lifted from me. I can think more freely. That's in those who responded.
Among those who responded, the benefit lasted between 1 and 6 months. McShane notes the British trial was designed to test the safety of repeated doses, not the drug's effectiveness. In the United States, where a half dozen larger trials of the anesthetic have been conducted, experts say ketamine has proven to be 60% effective on average in rapidly easing treatment-resistant depression. U.S. National Institute of Mental Health Experimental Therapeutics Chief Carlos Cerati says there are 30 types of antidepressant drugs on the market, but they do not relieve all of the symptoms of depression in everyone, including extreme fatigue, sadness, or inability to concentrate.
And in addition, the incidences of depression and suicide have not dramatically changed over the years, despite these treatments. And the other major fact is that it takes often weeks to several months for the full effects to take place.
Zarati says only about one-third of patients get a complete remission on one antidepressant. Many more require 2 or more trials of different drugs to ease symptoms. Most of the antidepressants target the neurotransmitters serotonin and norepinephrine. Zarati says they work rapidly to improve the connections among the brain chemicals. He says ketamine works directly on a neurotransmitter called glutamate, which is the ultimate target of other drugs.
And so people have argued if you go more directly to this receptor of glutamate, NMDA, would you bring about a more rapid antidepressant effect? And the answer is yes. You can get what takes about a couple of hours with ketamine would take approximately 6 weeks with our standard antidepressants.
Research is now focused on the dosage of ketamine that can be administered safely, the goal of the British study, and trying to design longer-lasting drugs that work like ketamine directly on the glutamate receptor. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Yes, Dr. Lawson, let's start from the beginning. What's depression?
Depression is not just feeling bad or sad because bad things happen to you. It is a mental disorder that is disabling, has many manifestations. But the important thing is that it can be treated and treated successfully, recognized.
How common is it?
The numbers actually vary quite a bit. That lifetime, 10 to 20% of the population may experience it at any point. And So it's one of the most common mental disorders. Even though it is disabling, it also is treated. Folks can function pretty effectively.
So how is one to tell it from the usual mood fluctuations? What are the pointers to that this is depression and this is maybe the normal mood swings in one?
What we've agreed upon now is we use the criterion based on what we call the DSM-5. And the characteristic of it is that first is that it is severe enough to be disabling. In which folks may have disturbances in terms of feelings, sadness, irritability, but also disturbances in terms of sleep, eating, being able to focus. Most importantly, as you mentioned earlier, some folks are actually severe enough that it makes them feel that life is not worth living. And these symptoms should be present most of the time, for at least 2 weeks.
I see. What are the major causes of depression, Dr. Lawson?
The causes are probably complex. We know that there are can be environmental triggers. For instance, if a loss of a loved one, bad circumstances can lead to depression. Now, simply having a loss of a loved one, a bad circumstances, is not necessarily the kind of depression that one would need to get treatment for. But if it's persisting and severe enough, you may have treatment. Many times, folks cannot identify a specific cause. It seems to come out of the blue. And there are some people that it seems to be related to the time of year, and the winter, we talk winter blues. It can also be related to the parent during the pregnancy. Many women who are expecting sometimes will become these maybe to depressive episodes. So depression, we think, is probably a combination of environmental and biological factors. The bottom line, though, is that when one is depressed and it's severe enough and disabling, we should do what we can to try to get some treatment or relief.
Yeah, we have a question sent to us by email earlier on. Somebody's asking, can it be prevented? Is it preventable?
It can be prevented. We now have some kinds of psychotherapies in which people can be taught because we recognize that many times, especially if a person's had a depressive episode before, they recognize the prodromal symptoms. They feel they're coming into a depressive episode. And in those cases, maybe one may seek medication, or one may develop a kind of therapy that we call cognitive behavioral therapy, in which we examine our thoughts and see if we have thoughts that are illogical, that add to the depressive episode. Also, we recognize that environmental personal relationships can lead to depressive episodes. If one knows that they're in a difficult relationship, to re-examine if, in fact, having such a relationship is working for the person.
So what are the major symptoms? What should one look out for to determine if one has depression?
Many times we often think about whether or not a person is sad, tearful, crying most of the day, days at a time. But sometimes some folks simply don't report sadness. They may just report feeling irritated all the time. But it should also be in combination with disturbances in sleep. They can be spending most of their time in bed or having difficulty going to sleep and waking up early in the morning. It may be related to, it may have signs of overeating or not eating much at all and having weight loss. In children and adolescents, a lot of times we see irritability, difficulty concentration, problems in school, difficulty being able to carry out their normal activities. And although it's not always present, when we look at thoughts of life not worth living or wanting to hurt themselves, we think about depression.
Is there a relation between depression and physical health?
Absolutely. We know that when one has depression, many medical conditions actually have worse outcomes and do not respond as well to treatment. It's well known that people who have depression and have a heart attack are less likely to survive. We recognize that people with AIDS have poor outcomes when they're depressed. We also recognize that many disorders such as asthma, diabetes, all are worsened when the depression is part of the condition as well.
Is there, according to your experience, does geography matter? Where one lives, is it more common in some areas than others, either here in the U.S. or anywhere in the world? Is it more in some areas than others? And if so, why?
That's an issue of very serious debate. What we found is that it seems to be very common in the Western world, especially U.S., Canada, and seems to be less common in other countries. We're now recognizing, though, is that because depression can present in different ways in different parts of the world, that is probably underdiagnosed in many countries because of social beliefs and others. We also, again, recognize that people who live in areas that have long nights, that have less exposure to sunlight, that depression tends to be more common.
In the medical field, how seriously are you taking it? Because it seems to be to an ordinary person that unless one notices signs that and goes to the doctor, he may not be diagnosed early enough or diagnosed at all.
That is correct. What we find is that many people actually do not go to mental health practitioners, and as a result, often underdiagnosed. Even when we go to a physician, we go to a primary care physician. It may be underdiagnosed, underrecognized 50 to 70% of the time. And when we go to non-clinicians, it is often not recognized as a disorder.
So how would you describe the level of awareness among the communities?
The level of awareness has gotten much better in the last couple of years because of publicity, the whole idea about seasonal depression, episodes in which mothers have harmed their children because of a special kind of depression. And so I think that there's increasing awareness that the phenomenon exists. But many people still either discount it, just don't believe it as serious as it is, do not recognize that it's an important fact in terms of cases of suicide, and also themselves simply can't believe that they or their friends can have a condition that's severe. As a colleague of mine who's a social worker knew the symptoms, but was finding she was spending several days at a time in bed and didn't know what was going on until she happened to talk to another friend, who was another professional, who said, you know, lady, you're depressed. So it is unrecognized, even among people who are well-trained, because of the stigma attached to having a mental disorder, and also because we like to believe that we can deal with both circumstances.
And given that, what do you think is the role of culture? What does culture or cultural beliefs play in all this?
What we're finding is that depression is probably present in every culture. But also, there are some cultures in which expressing feelings of depression being sad for no reason is interpreted in some countries is a taboo. And so people don't discuss those depressed feelings. In other countries, we found that the focus is on how well you function in terms of your work. And so if you talk about feelings of sadness, it's just discounted because the important thing is much more on your productivity. And yet others, especially U.S. among young men, a lot of them feel that it's better to be considered bad, tough, problems than to recognize that they sometimes can become sad or depressed. And so as a result, they do not get help.
I see. Well, we'll take a short break and we'll come back and continue our discussion of our topic tonight, which is depression. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
Good morning. 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 You are listening to VOA's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show with James Buddy.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat is depression, and joining us via phone is Dr. William Lawson, professor and chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Howard University College of Medicine. A reminder that you can join our conversation by calling 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can reverse the charges through your international operator. Now, Dr. Lawson, as I mentioned in my introduction, the depression is on the rise. Why would you attribute that fact that it's on the rise now?
There's still a good deal of debate about if, in fact, it is on the rise, or are we better at recognizing it, or it's becoming more acceptable in many countries, in many cultures, to express those kinds of feelings. My own experience has been that depression has been around historically. Long periods of time, we found in some countries that reportedly have low rates of depression still have high rates of suicide. So I think there's a major, major problem in terms of recognition of depression in many cultures, among some subgroups, in some communities. Again, recognition is important so we can prevent serious consequences like disability or suicide.
Does race affect the whether one is diagnosed with depression or not? Is race a factor?
That's an excellent question. Historically, in the United States, it was thought that depression was virtually unknown or uncommon among African Americans or among Latinos, and it's actually become almost stereotypical depression is less common. What we're finding is that depression is common. There's some question about whether or not it is more common in African Americans. Some careful studies have shown reportedly lower rates, but at the same time, when it is presented, it presents with more greater severity, more complications. So we think that the problem is that mild depression may be unrecognized in many ethnic groups. In the United States, China has one of the lowest rates of depression in the world. What we find is their suicide rate is not low. So we suspect that because of cultural factors, depressive feelings are not expressed as readily.
Go ahead.
And what we find among gender, we also find that men often do not, depression is reportedly less common. What we find is that a lot of times there are many folks that turn to alcohol and drugs of abuse. So we expect that among men, if somebody removes the factor of drugs of abuse and alcohol, you find it probably less gender difference than it uses to report it.
So why is it more in women than in men?
Well, again, one explanation, when we find in cultures in which there's abstinence from alcohol, the gender difference is very small, almost disappears. We suspect that some of these folks, the depressive feelings are being expressed through drugs of abuse by alcohol. On the other hand, there's a belief that it may be related to the hormonal system, that estrogen may predispose individuals more towards depression. We certainly know that during pregnancy, changes in mood state can be quite severe and may be related to endocrine factors.
Earlier on, as I mentioned in my introduction and as you alluded to, there is treatment for depression. How effective is the treatment and what type of treatment is it?
Treatment can be very effective. It usually runs around about 70%. We find with psychotherapy or even with medication. Kinds of treatments we have include talk therapy or psychotherapy, of which there are several kinds. One of the most common ones that's seen in literature and just on TV, so-called insight-oriented or analytical therapy. But that has largely been not displaced, but more commonly now we see people get what we call cognitive behavioral therapy, which is much more of a focus on what thoughts folks have about the world and about themselves, in which people have rational beliefs that everything is helpless, no matter what they do, things are going to turn out bad and so forth. And when you change those beliefs, often the depression is treated. On the other hand, interpersonal therapy, how your relationship with other people originally developed in Uganda, but we found very, very useful in the Western world as well. We have a number of medications now available that have, and the newer ones have fewer side effects. So the antidepressants can be quite effective in terms of severe depression and often is used in combination with talk therapy. For people who seem to be treatment resistant, we now have electroconvulsive therapy, which is actually one of the more safer treatments, but because of the nature of treatment, cannot be given sustained. But it can be, it's probably one of the most effective treatments. Recently, we now have transmagnetic resonance. It's a newer treatment, biological treatment, that is probably not as effective as ECT, but maybe more effective than many antidepressants or talk therapy. So we have a range of treatments, and more being developed that can be quite effective in terms of really turning people's lives around after years of struggling with depressive feelings.
So is it true that depression can be cured? So it's not a sort of a sentence for life. It can't be cured.
That's an excellent question, because most of the treatments used are prolonged. What we're finding more and more now is that if you have severe depression, but more than one episode, probably they need close to lifetime treatment. If a person has one episode, that's a 50% chance they have another one. But if they start and they have two or three episodes, it's about a 30% chance they have one in the future. So certainly many people have one episode and never have another episode. But there's a small but significant group of people whom there's a recurrent problem and which they may need lifetime treatment.
You know, as you know, in most countries, including here, the issue of cost is important. How affordable are the drugs you mentioned, the treatment for depression?
Yeah, there are two issues. One is what is the cost of depression? And that's often very difficult to quantify, and that impacts on whether or not insurances and others are willing to provide those treatments. But we now recognize that depression is a major cause of workplace absenteeism and job loss. And, of course, it's hard to quantify, but you can also look at death from suicide as an important determinant. When you look at these, many of the treatments are, in fact, cost-effective. Saying that, recognize that many of the newer drugs that are still on patent can be very, very expensive, and probably should be reserved for those situations in which they clearly have a side effect advantage or in which they clearly have the benefit of bringing about an effective treatment when others fail. Talk therapy and psychotherapy, again, many insurers don't like to pay it, or they'll set aside a specific point or time in which the therapy session should end. And sometimes that is not related to the usefulness of it in terms of treating the depression.
But is it true that some types of depression can be chronic?
Absolutely. And again, what we're finding is that for people with severe depression, recurrent episodes, it can be. We now distinguish between what we call chronic depression, where folks may have mild symptoms, but it persists for years, and major depression, where folks can a severe treatment, sometimes what they last weeks instead of years. The important point is that all of these can respond to some kind of treatment. Chronic depression, sometimes talk therapy, maybe all that's sufficient. Some more severe depression, we need medication plus talk therapy.
So, lastly, Dr. Lawson, there are types of depression. Is that correct?
There are what?
There are different types of depression.
Yes, there are. And the question is, we don't have what we call a biological marker that identifies depression. So what types are meaningful is still an area of active investigation. But clearly we can look at the kinds of depression that occurs related to the pair during the pregnancy, the kinds of depression that seem to be seasonal, the kinds of depression that seems to relate to whether or not one is feeling mostly sad all the time versus one and have a lot of biological symptoms. But on the other hand, what we're finding is that we used to talk about involutional depression, that depression occurs in old age. That probably is no different from any other depression. So there's a lot of similarities to depressive episodes, but there are also some differences.
I see. Well, we have run out of time. That's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. Thank you, Dr. Lawson, Professor and Chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Howard University College of Medicine. Thank you very much, Dr. Lawson, for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For more on depression, log on to our website at voanews.com/health. Thank you all for joining us tonight, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington, wishing you all the best. And until next time, I wish you a happy evening, and please try to stay healthy.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa. Every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.